What's really good? Anthony TJ Andrews here with the first official installment of the Rooftop Chronicles in 2022. Happy New Year. What's going on? In the words of Bernie Mac, what the heck is going on? New year. Really, really grateful. Sorry for the chirps in the back. Really grateful for the ability to approach a new year and a new thing. And the Lord gives us that. He doesn't just give us that like every year. He gives us that every day. You know, his mercies are new every morning. You know, and that's wonderful. But we are always given a clean slate. And that's just a wonderful thing. And grateful to God for that. Grateful to God for you guys. Just more content. Yeah, that's what the homies need. New perspective from the rooftop point of view and all that jazz. I really like war movies, like Gladiator, Troy, Braveheart. I think it's Hacksaw Ridge. I think that's it. What else do I really like? If I keep it real, we can go to Lord of the Rings. Those battles are major. We keep it real. We can go to, Saving Private Ryan. If we keep it real, we can go to, what is it? I don't want to say Black Hawk Down. No, I don't want. Maybe Black Hawk Down. There's a lot of war movies that I like. Or 300. You know what I'm saying? Those are, you know, some are set in, you know, the time of, you know, Greek gods, and you know, and some are set in, you know, World War II. Some are set in the time where you know you are in the Scottish mountains or the, you know, the Irish mountains, you know. And so they're different time frames, but the reason I like war movies is because usually the main character is always fighting for something greater than himself, you know. In the beginning, the motives may be just straight out revenge, but after he or she sees that revenge only gets you to it doesn't sober things up. There's another world behind revenge, right? There's life behind revenge, right? But I said all that because like today I watched Braveheart. Watched the whole thing through. Never have I watched the whole, you know, movie. I may have watched it. It came out in 1995. That's what it said. 95? Woo. I don't even know how old I was in 95. I want to do the math, but I don't want to do the math. Whatever. But 95. But, of course, the story of Braveheart, William Wallace. Brother and father, they were killed because they went off to potentially fight a war and then come back home and, you know, just try to, you know, build a life of their own. Unfortunately, they came back. They were killed. William was left without a father, was left without a mother. Never said what happened to his mother. But uncle took him under his wing. And some of the dopest quotes in there, or some of the dopest parts in the movie was his father first told him, he was like, you know, what makes us men is our wits, right? How we can handle situations, how we think about things, which what makes us great people is our wits, right? And then his uncle came and I think he saw that his uncle had a sword and he was, you know, really fascinated by the sword. And but his uncle kind of alluded to the same thing that his father said, because his uncle was his dad's brother. And he said, you know, first, well, in order to use the sword, you know, first I have to teach you how to use this. And he tapped him on the head with the sword. And yeah, as the story goes on, we learn that, you know, William was like, he not only was a skilled, you know, swordsman, but he was extremely intelligent. He knew Latin, he knew French, you know, just an extremely intelligent man. And that was from his uncle. So those were a couple of jewels. And another jewel was when he actually went into one of the camps that was set up, you know, by the enemy. He actually went into one of their huts, one of their campsites, to actually talk to the princess, you know, whom he grew fond of. But she was the only person, because she reminded him of his wife that was, you know, unfortunately killed by just some crazy people in England. Not to say that I have a problem with people in England. I actually want to go to London very, very badly, the UK very, very badly. I'm a big soccer fan, big Arsenal fan, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, cats from UK, you know, I love you guys. But he was in conversation with the princess, and then the princess had a, you know, right hand henchman, some punk, you know, who was like, hey, this man is a savage, don't believe anything that he said, he's a liar. And he was saying all this stuff in Latin, and a homie like William Wallace like said that he never lies. He said that in Latin. But then the coldest thing he said was, but I am a savage. I lost my mind when that happened. And I'm sorry if I'm rambling on. I know you got things to do. Other than that, all in all, like, the movie really spoke to me. And all these movies speak to me because every character in all of these movies, they fight for something greater. You look at Maximus Decimus Meridius from Gladiator. Yes, he was out for revenge for what, you know, Caesar, the new Caesar, had did to his family, but he understood that it was just bigger than him. It was to win the crowd. It was so the crowd could understand that, like, no one can keep you captive. William Wallace in Braveheart, he was, in the beginning, he was fighting for, you know, his love, which was his wife. But then in the end of it all, he understood that it's more than just this. It's about fighting for freedom. You know what I'm saying? In 300, Leonidas, you know, he understood that the 300 men, you know, it was just more than just saying, ahoo, ahoo. But it was about freedom. All of these men fought for something greater than themselves. They could see a bigger picture, right? Even though their tomorrow inevitably was not promised, and they all died. The price of doing something that is greater than yourself means that things will have to die. You will have to die in order to attain freedom, in order to attain a legacy beyond yourself, in order to, you know, obtain the integrity and keep the sonship and to own the sonship that was rightfully given to you all by Abba, by God, the beloved identity. And it all plays into part because Jesus had to die in order to give us freedom. Man, I think that's dope how I wrapped the whole thing together. Goodness gracious. I'm like a sandwich artist at Subway. How I put things together. You feel me? Man, I'm buzz bars. But anything that's bigger than you is going to require you to die. And I'm back to this point. Yeah, I am. But it is well worth it. Even in Troy, Achilles. Right? He understood that this battle will make my name ring out way beyond what it very well could if I didn't go to war. In the beginning of Troy, one of the coldest lines was a little boy comes looking for Achilles because, you know, this king, he's, you know, calling for Achilles to come to battle and basically do his dirty work. I.e., if you think you're in charge, you got to get somebody else to come and do your dirty work. You're not really in charge. Anyway, he calls Achilles. Little boy comes to Achilles and says, you know, the king is calling you for battle. And he said, the man that they have on that field, you know, he's the biggest man I've ever seen. I'd never want to fight him. Man, Achilles looked at the little boy and was like, that is why they will never, that is why they will never remember your name. I was like, ooh, it was cold. That's some cold stuff, man. But it's so dope because it once again lets us know that the biggest battles are worth it. They're worth it because, you know, our family's legacy, our family's name is riding on it. And the name of Jesus is riding on that, right? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. His name is above every name. So, you know, whom do you come in the name of? You great Philistine? You blind, bow-legged, big dude who's very uncoordinated? I come in the name of the Lord. It's David talking to Goliath. This year, fight for something bigger than yourself. If it's dealing with health, it's bigger than you because you want to live a healthy life, to be with your children, to be with your wife for as long as you're supposed to be here. Don't speed up the process by eating just buck wild crazy. Work out. If it's your finances, it's bigger than you. Because you want to be a great provider, or you want to be a great steward over what you have. So not only your children can have everything that they need and your wife can have everything that she needs, you can give them things that you want to give them. And then you can go and you can bless someone else and you can leave a legacy of giving instead of taking. If it's prayer, do that because it's bigger than you. It will ignite a fire on the inside of you that can go into generations. You can speak things now, man, into the generations to come. For your sons and your daughters, for their husbands, for their wives, for this world. If it's ministry, if it's bigger than you, it's worth dying for. The dopest thing, well, one of the dopest things Jesus said was, if it be thy will, Father, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. But nevertheless, I'm a mere man. I'm going to lay my life down as a man because this thing is bigger than me. So live big. Think bigger. Think obnoxiously big. Nothing is so big that it can't fit into the palms, into the hands of God, into the hands of Abba. He laughs, you know, with so much joy at your big dreams. He kind of chuckles. When my dad would laugh, his shoulders would go up and down. It was kind of like you're so crazy, son. But God laughs at those types of things. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he or she asked me for that. That's so amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm going to give it to you. He laughs with great joy. He doesn't laugh as if you can't do it. He laughs as if to say, not only will I do it, not only can I do it, I'm going to do it. And we'll do it together. I want to do it. So homies, think obnoxiously big this year. If it's bigger than you, some things are going to have to die. But oh my goodness, it's worth it. I'll be back. As always, thanks for joining the homie on the rooftops.